Happy New Year's Eve on this very cold day. It's 59 degrees here. I think Carol's messing with the temperature. Get a little closer to your neighbor or put your jacket on. We're happy to have you here today at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church to celebrate today. I want to let you know that we are moving forward with work on getting heat over in McFadden Hall. We've signed the contract with Mata Heating, and donations are coming in. I'm going to be setting up a GoFundMe account for anybody else who wants to contribute to that, and I'll send out the details about that. We're also saddened about Sue Gill and appreciate everyone involved in making it happen. And I know that we set up a special heater over in McFadden Hall. Hope everyone was warm enough yesterday.
Perfect.
Worked well? Good. So with that, I will turn it over to Dave and we'll do the service.
Okay. Another announcement is that because there's no children here this morning, you know they call this Cannonball Sunday. The Cannonball Sunday is always the dread of every minister because they know between Christmas and New Year's, the Sunday that comes is always going to be the lowest attended service of the entire year. And you couple that with the cold weather and, you know, so we've got a small group here, but though we're small, we are mighty, aren't we? I've always appreciated Jesus saying, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them, won't you? There's not going to be a children's sermon, and the anthem, which Tom DeWorken is going to sing for us this morning, is going to come after the greeting of God's family. The greeting of God's family is going to be moved to where it usually is, right after the Apostles' Creed. And then following that, then we'll have our anthem. Are we ready to begin worship? Let me begin with prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this new year about to be. By faith, we know that it is full of your promises for us. Thank you for the blessings that you've placed in this year, for the provision, the protection, the godly discernment you continue to equip us with. Thank you for the knowledge that you will walk beside us each and every day. As we enter this new year, we ask specifically that you would strengthen us where we need to be strengthened, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, and convict us where we need to be convicted, that you would motivate us where we need to be motivated. And we ask that you would reveal yourself and your will to us more fully this year so that we can follow you ever more closely. In love and in devotion we pray. Amen. Our call to worship is a responsive one. It comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 6, and you can see that on the screen on either side of me. For everything there is a season. A time to born. A time to plant. A time to kill. A time to break down. A time to weep. A time to mourn. A time to throw away stones. And a time to refrain from embracing. And a time to lose. And a time to seek. A time to keep. In all the times of our lives, we give God thanks. And with that, our opening hymn is number 135, There's a Star in the East.
Star.
and he leads us to our prayer of confession. So let us pray in unison this morning, confess our sins. Merciful God and Father in heaven, you are faithful and just. You are willing to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Before you and our sisters and brothers, we confess that we have spoken many empty words and have at times broken even our most sacred vows. Our sins are an affront to you. They are a disgrace before the watching world, and they have caused us unspeakable pain. Through our Lord Jesus, may we begin this new year with the joy of knowing we belong to you, with the freedom of being purified by your blood, and with the healing which your grace alone can bring. In the name of our blessed Savior, we pray. Amen. My friends, hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
And now let us recite that which the church has affirmed for many hundreds of years, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now don't sit down yet, because I want you to take an opportunity to extend the peace of Christ to your brothers and sisters all around.
Thank you.
such a strange way to save the world.
Sean, that was beautiful. We have our own Tom DeWorken trio now here officially in our church. Like the Nat King Cole trio. Oh, man. This time I'd like to invite who's ever offering up the praise request, the prayer request. Here comes Sherry.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Tom, that was beautiful. Thank you. Very nice. We have one prayer request today. This is from Jim Eichner for David Rao. For those of you who may not know David, he's the gentleman that comes in and does the dishes, I believe, at the luncheons and also at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. He is in North Hills Passavant Hospital. He is having a toe amputated, and there's possibly more, even possibly further up. We're not sure yet, but I believe Pastor has all his room number and information for him. And then also we have a praise request from Kathy Annaretto. She asked Clara to let everybody know how much she appreciates all of the calls, the visits, the prayers. She is coming along fine, right? She's in rehab right now, so at home rehab, so but she is doing well. And I think Pastor is going to update us on Bev Ruby also.
Yep, I'll do that. Thank you, Cheryl.
Let's keep the Sue Gills family in our prayers. You know, Sue passed away from a massive stroke this past week, and we had a service celebrating her life on Friday, and a real celebration it was. You know, the Bible says we do not mourn as so many in this world who are without hope. You know, we confront life with a completely new and different orientation, and you'll hear more about that, you know, when I preach the word in a few minutes. But let's lift the Gill family in our prayers. And I spoke to Beverly Ruby. Beverly had a stroke this past week, and she wasn't able to, her speech was coming out garbled, and she was paralyzed on one side, so they took her to the hospital. And this is up in Ontario, Canada. She was up there with Debbie and Alan, her daughter and son-in-law. So they knew right away what to do and where to take her, and they took her to the hospital in London there in Ontario. And when I talked to her on the phone the other day, she was coming along very, very well. There was no slurring of the speech. And she says, I'm doing much better, much better. And they look like they're going to be coming home on Tuesday. So we can thank God for that. Now, Paul, you know, before they left to go up there, he had fallen and he fractured his pelvis. So we got to continue to keep Paul in our prayers, too. You know, when you get to a certain age, those bones take a little bit longer to recuperate, to heal, to come together. So that's the news on that. With that, our hymn of meditation is number 145, What Child Is This? Of course, we know who that child is, don't we? Begin preparing ourselves, our hearts, for as we come before the Lord, and I'll pray the pastoral's prayer, and together we'll join in for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father and our God, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we confess our need of your presence and your guidance as we face the future. We each have our hopes and expectations for the year that is ahead, but you alone know what it holds for us, and only you can give us the strength and the wisdom we will need to meet its challenges. So help us to humbly put our hands into your hand and to trust you and to seek your will for our lives during this coming year. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, assure us of the certainty of your unchanging love. In the midst of life's inevitable disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to you for the stability and the comfort we will need. In the midst of life's temptations and the pull of our stubborn self-will, help us not to lose our way, but to have the courage to do what is right in your sight, regardless of the cost. And in the midst of our daily preoccupations and pursuits, open our eyes to the sorrows and the injustices of our hurting world. Help us to respond with compassion and sacrifice to those who are friendless and in need. May our constant prayer be that of the ancient psalmist, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end." We pray for our nation and its leaders during these difficult times, and for all those who are seeking to bring peace and justice to our dangerous and troubled world. We pray especially for your protection on all those who serve in our armed forces, and we thank you for their commitment to defend our freedoms, even at the cost of their own lives. Be with their families also and assure them of your love and your concern for them. Bring our divided nation together, and give us a greater vision of what you would have us to be. Your word reminds us that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. As we look back over the past year, we thank you for your goodness to us, far beyond what any of us have deserved. May we never presume on your good past goodness or forget all your mercies to us, but may we instead lead us to repentance and to a new commitment to make you the foundation and center of our lives this year. And so, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the promise and hope of this new year, and we look forward to it with expectation and faith. And this I ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, who by his death and resurrection has given us hope both for this world and the world to come. Thereby we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. Again for the opportunity to give back to you a portion of all that you so lavish upon our lives, so much so we don't even know what to do with the stuff that we already have. We ask that you would teach us the true meaning of stewardship. Teach us what it means to really be new in your sight with all the newness that you have created for us in our lives as well as around us. And we ask that these tithes and offering gifts may be used above all for the furtherance of your kingdom both here and abroad. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from Psalms 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord, his holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with truth. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, BJ. And now would you pray one more time with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts find approval and acceptance in thy sight, O Lord, for truly you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we inaugurate the beginning of a whole new year. And you know, it probably couldn't have come any quicker for some people. As we take that old calendar off from down off the wall and replace it with a newly updated one, we tell ourselves that things are going to be very, very different this year, that everything is going to be far better than last year. At least that's what we hope, isn't it? In 2018, we face some daunting realities. In spite of all the rosy rhetoric you might hear coming from out of Washington these days, the economic divide between rich and poor has never been greater, and that threatens a major social crisis in the years ahead. Racial divisions are intensifying at an alarming rate. The cost of health care has ballooned to where it is growing out of reach for a majority of Americans. A nuclear showdown with North Korea lies just off the horizon. Terrorist attacks within our own borders seems almost commonplace nowadays. And environmental protections are being rolled back, putting our air and water resources at great risk. And I could even go further into how life expectancy has declined in our country for the second year in a row, how students are graduating from our colleges and universities under a mountain of debt that they don't think they'll ever get from out under from, how we are drinking more alcohol than ever before, and a deepening opioid crisis is claiming close to 100 lives every day across our nation. Millennials are the first generation to believe that their future offers far less and promise and opportunity than their own parents' generation did. In light of such actualities, do any of us expect that despite it being New Year's Day the world over, there is really going to be anything new about it? Moreover, how many of us truly believe that we have control over ourselves and over the events in our lives, that we can significantly change the future anyway? You know, there's an old Yiddish proverb that goes, if you want to make God laugh, then tell him about your plans. Another says, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry, a line from a poem written by the 18th century Scottish poet Robert Burns. And it's a reminder that when preparing for the future, even the most carefully wrought plans frequently fail to materialize as expected. That life has an unanticipated way of treating you, that it often takes a detour when you least expect it. And instead of it being better, life turns out for the worse. Case in point, Reverend Frank Vardaman. He was the general presbyter or pastor to pastors in my last presbytery, Presbytery of Wabash Valley in Indiana. 2 years ago at this time, he woke up to discover that he no longer had the use of either of his legs. One day he had perfect control and use of his lower extremities. The next day he couldn't even walk to the bathroom by himself. Frank was immediately taken to the local hospital where the doctors discovered a tiny growth in the midsection of his spine. And this had forced his spinal cord to compress, thereby causing irreparable damage to it. Subsequently, Frank had to endure 6 major surgeries, followed by stays in 3 acute rehabilitation units and 5 months in transitional care. During that time, he came close to dying several times. But the most difficult part of the entire ordeal was when the doctors had to inform him and his wife Heidi that he would never walk again. Frank was getting ready for a long and happy retirement, one that included lots of travel and fishing with the grandkids when all this happened. But now he finds himself having to spend his final years confined to a wheelchair, a situation he knows will never change. Throughout Frank's ordeal, I have been receiving regular updates about his progress from Heidi. This past week, I was told that Frank had qualified for and received a mobility assist dog, and it will be trained to open doors, retrieve, drop things, and even answer the phone, or at least bring a cell phone to him. Simple activities that a child can perform, which for Frank, he has much difficulty performing himself. Still, he's worked hard over the past couple of years to become more independent. And if you've ever talked to Frank, you'd never detect the slightest amount of anger towards God or pity towards himself. But I'll tell you what really hit me. It's the fact that Frank was not only my friend and my colleague in ministry, but he and I are the same age. And I realized how he could have just as easily been me, that my fate could have been what he experienced the last couple years. Well, what does this have to do with this morning's text? I think it has much. Psalm 96 is known as an enthronement psalm. It is a hymn of thanksgiving that celebrates God's kingship over the entire earth. It is a song that the Jews sung daily in their evening worship services. And it begins now with a familiar refrain that is all throughout the scriptures, that God is constantly exhorting his people to sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. The singing of a new song is mentioned at least six times in the Psalms. In Psalms 33, 40, here in 96, 98, 144, and again in Psalm 149. All in connection to praise with God. In verses 1 through 3, there is a call for Israel to praise their Lord. With verses 4 through 6, we are told that the reason for doing so is because the Lord is a powerful creator and all other gods are powerless images. Then in the rest of the psalm, the faithful everywhere are encouraged to join in praise, for the Lord God reigns. And in contrast to the rulers of this world, he promises to judge everyone with righteousness, with fairness, and with truth. With the coming of a new king, we need a new song to sing for a fresh new era. We need a new perspective and a new orientation, unlike any that we've had in our old lives. The old is being completely dismantled and done away with. All things are now becoming new. Well, this message of newness, as promised by God, is a central theme within the Bible. And it is one that is also fundamental to the life of every Christian. The prophet Isaiah spoke of God doing a new thing, giving us a new name, creating a new heaven and a new earth. Jeremiah spoke of a new covenant that God would make with his people that would be nothing like the one that God had created with his forefathers. And with this covenant, instead of tablets of stone, God would write his law upon their hearts and forgive them all their iniquity. Ezekiel prophesied how God would put a new heart and a new spirit within them, and it would result with them bringing forth brand new fruit. You see, the essential message of the prophets was not one of judgment. It was foremost a message of hope. They were asserting a promise of newness that the people of Israel had once believed in, but had long since forgotten. While Israel had been conquered by the Assyrians and then subsequently by the Babylonians, where they were taken into exile for 70 years, it was this promise from their God of a new day that would one day dawn that would galvanizing their hopes and kept their faith alive. They could have abandoned their commitment to Jehovah. They could have resigned themselves to the fact that they no longer had any future as a covenant people. But instead, God raised up a series of spokespersons to remind them that indeed a new day was forthcoming and that it was this promise that would keep their hopes alive despite being strangers in a strange land. Well, this theme of newness continues into the New Testament, where there it receives its climax and its fulfillment. In the Gospels, Jesus gives his disciples a new commandment that is wholly based on love. He tells them during the Last Supper that the cup they are about to drink represents the new covenant in his blood. St. Paul tells the Corinthians that if anyone is in Christ, he or she has become a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has finally arrived. He says to the Galatians that the only thing that matters is not circumcision or uncircumcision, but whether or not one is a new creation. And he exhorts both the Ephesians and the Colossians to put on the new person that is created in the likeness of God. The book of Hebrews speaks over and over again how Jesus Christ is the mediator of a whole new covenant. And the book of Revelation promises the church, and whoever remains faithful to the end shall receive a new name, and a new song shall fill his or her mouth. And in the last day, the people of God shall inhabit a new Jerusalem that is in a new heaven and a new earth. And so we find that in both the Old Testament and in the New, this theme of newness is not merely peripheral to the message of the Bible, but one that goes to the very heart of God's promise and purpose for his creation and for us, his people. What made this message of newness so important to the Israelites, to the early church, and even to us today, was not that a sense of optimism about their situation might be kindled, nor was it because God wanted them to be greater positive thinkers about the future. It wasn't meant to instill within them some kind of emotional euphoria, but rather to instill within them and us a new and reliable hope, a confident assurance upon which they and we could base our lives upon, one that they could be sure was as certain as the rising of the sun the very next morning. What I mean is this. If we know, and I mean truly know, that we are now at this very instant the beloved children of God and that Jesus Christ is our brother, and if we believe, and I mean truly believe, that we are indeed new persons who at this very moment have had our checkered past wiped completely clean and are now reconciled to a gracious God with a love we know can never be broken, and if we believe, actually believe, that we have the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit present within us to accompany us no matter where we go or whatever circumstance may befall us, and if we believe, and I mean really believe, that we are part of a new and dynamic community of faith, this church, that is unlike any other body or organization in the history of humankind because it represents Christ's personal presence in the world, that Christ himself has become incarnated anew in and through us so that we become his hands and his feet and his voice in the world, and if we trust, and I mean truly trust, that we have been given a whole new future, one in which we are assured that in that very last day there will be no more wars or tears or pain, and that justice will roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And what's more, that even after we have died, we know that we know that we know that death will not have the last word because it has been vanquished once and for all by him who rose from the dead on our account. And as a result, we shall live in his presence and the presence of the saints forever and all time. Then this message of newness can never just be peripheral to us, but must assume front and center to our lives. Must assume front and center to our lives. If we truly believe this, a promise from God's lips to our ears, then it must surely mean everything in the world to us. For if we come to discover that we are indeed new persons through Jesus Christ, then this means that we will begin to live as new persons. Like the psalmist, we learn that there is now a new king over our lives, and that this requires a new song to be sung. An entirely new orientation to live by so that none of us can ever be the same persons we once were. We will have a fresh foundation upon which to build our lives with a whole new set of values and a whole new character to be guided by. We'll be part of a whole new community which understands the nature and the importance of love and forgiveness and grace. We'll have an entirely new future, which does not begin merely when we die and go to heaven, but begins right now, every day, as we live and walk in humble submission to our God and strive to perform His will. Real faith is the ability to believe the Word of God when in Revelation 21:5 it says, "And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I am now making all things new." My friends, we celebrate the coming of each new year with kisses and champagne because we're really hoping that what awaits us in the future won't be a repeat of the old. That over the ensuing 12 months, we will recover a renewed sense of confidence in ourselves and in our nation's destiny. Well, we in the church have a unique opportunity to address the despair and the demoralization that many people currently experience. Here is our chance to make a powerful witness to the hope that God has given us and to the people of hope that we have become. When God promises us that we and our futures are completely new, God is not saying that He's made a few adjustments to our personalities, nor is God implying that He's put a nice new set of clothes upon us and now we're virtually as good as new. When God says that we are made new, God is saying that we are new in every way, in ways that have no relation to the past and in ways we can't even envision. As children of God, we have every reason in the world to sing a new song, for we know what it is to experience the grace of God and the peace of God and the presence of God in our lives. We know from firsthand experience how the failures of our past have been wiped away and how everything about us is now new. Our hearts are new. Our relationships are new. Our futures are new as well. God has put a new song in our mouths, and it is not some sorrowful dirge filled with anxiety and loneliness and despair, but it has become a glorious hymn filled with love and joy and peace and hope. Frank Vardaman understands this promise of newness, and that's why Frank remains a person abounding in hope and in faith, a person who, in spite of his newly wrought challenges, continues to thank God every day just for waking up and still having breath in his body, who continues to thank God for all the love and support that he and Heidi and the rest of their family have received, who continues to thank God for all the encouragement and assistance he never stops receiving from his brothers and sisters in the church, the body of Christ. You see, life as he knew it and experienced it has not ended for him. Instead, it has merely become a new beginning, a glorious next chapter, brimming with the same hope and the same adventure with which he faced the old. With one hand in the hand of people who love him, and with the other hand in the hand of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Frank is prepared to march into the future confident that he is more than ready for whatever life or anything else in this world can possibly hand him in the years to come. May 2018 be more than just another year in our lives and in the life of this church, but instead may it be a whole new year for us. A year in which we continue to mature in our faith by growing in our understanding of and relation to Jesus Christ. A year in which we continue to demonstrate real love and patience towards one another as members of God's heavenly family. A year in which we continue to anticipate the arrival of your new minister, whom God has raised up and will soon be sending this way. May 2018 be a year in which we truly believe, truly take seriously this new creation that God has made us to be. And in this way, our lives, too, will continue to be one magnificent adventure. Amen and amen. With that, our closing hymn is number 141, "On This Day Earth Shall Ring." Thank you. Just one more announcement, that the Women's Association will be meeting directly after the service in the church library. Now, our benediction. It is a responsive benediction. This is the beginning of a new time. This is a day of new beginnings. Behold, God is making all things new. Therefore, we boldly proclaim, our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth.
Praise be to God forever.
Amen.